It's almost the end of summer and the season for family road trips, so before it's too late, here's one more story about families in cars from commentator Desiree Cooper.
My dad is nearly 75. He's an Air Force veteran who retired in Virginia. He's still healthy and capable, but I don't like the idea of him driving with my mom 12 hours to visit me in Detroit. I've offered to buy them plane tickets. I've gone down to Virginia myself to save them a trip. I've even tried to get him to bring at least one other driver along. No, I can do it, he said. I just like to drive. I'm 46, but he's my dad, so I back down. Instead, I rely on the cell phone to keep track of them the whole trip. And when they finally arrive, I marvel that they were able to make it once again. What is with my dad's attachment to his car? Why can't he relinquish his command of the road? Sometimes I think it's about his military discipline or his male ego or even his refusal to accept the limitations of old age. But lately, it's occurred to me that it's about something else. I remember my dad's first new car. It was Old Betsy, a 1956 Buick, shaped like a water buffalo, key lime green with a sleek angel poised on the hood. It was his pride and joy. I was born 4 years after he bought Old Betsy. Back then, my dad was a young Air Force sergeant, driving Old Betsy from base to base, my brother and I loose on a giant leather back seat. We passed the hours with license plate games and family sing-alongs whenever the AM signal disappeared behind the mountains. But looking back, I realized those trips weren't always fun. Like the time in 1965 when we waited in the parking lot of a diner in Kentucky, my father in his uniform sitting nervously behind the wheel. A white woman emerged with a bag of food for us, something that we kids thought was amazing. The novelty of roadside food service completely overshadowed the furtive exchange of money, the woman's sad, apologetic look, my father's sudden, spoiled appetite. Once in Little Rock, they refused to seat us until my father got the manager. They gave us a tiny table near the kitchen. My hot chocolate arrived with marshmallows standing on a skin of tepid milk. My father threw money on the table and corralled us back to the safety of the car. We pouted each time my father passed a Holiday Inn. I want to keep on driving, he'd announce, even after 10 hours behind the wheel. I'm not tired. It wasn't until I got older and heard other people's stories about driving in the South that I realized this wasn't just about my dad. Sociologist Thomas Sugrue, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, has documented that having a car in the Jim Crow South was not just about middle-class materialism for blacks. Having a car meant that you could go from place to place without having to endure separate and invariably unequal accommodations, he said. For African Americans, the car was freedom from indignity. No wonder my dad still insists on driving his own car, always a Buick, on long trips. He wants to drive because he has a right to, and because he's earned it.
Desiree Cooper is a columnist for the Detroit Free Press.